Lord's presence here. Amen. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad that you're here. Amen. And I do want to say it is an honor to be with you in this service tonight in the absence of your pastor and my pastor. And he is certainly, I'm sure, relaxing and resting, having a good time, much deserved time away. And I want to say tonight how much I appreciate the SCORE conference and the blessings that we received during the meeting. I personally was strengthened. I was encouraged. And it was a blessing to my family and also to our church family. And I appreciate this church family carrying the burden for the meeting. Appreciate Pastor Bass for the burden he has for this kind of a meeting. You don't realize how much of an effect that it has on the kingdom of God, encouraging people, giving people the strength that they need to carry on, to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Because we are in a fight, but we're in it together. I said we're in a fight, but we're in it together. Praise the Lord. And I appreciate the meeting. I do want to compliment all the workers that worked after the service, serving the preachers. You did a marvelous job. And I do want to commend you for that. Very much appreciated. It made us feel special. Amen. And whether we are or not, I don't know, but you made us feel that way. Praise the Lord. So I commend you tonight on a job well done. And it is good to be back here again tonight. A little bit of a surprise to be here. But nevertheless, I do appreciate this opportunity. Brother Pastor Bass called and asked me if I would come. And I told him, normally, I'm a little hesitant, and but just something about when he asked, I instantly felt a burden, and so I do want to get right into the Word of the Lord tonight, and I want to help us all in this service. Praise God. Last time I was here a few weeks ago, I preached on the promises of God, and I preached, I believe the title that I used that service was the promise, God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. And I want to tell you tonight, I felt the burden of the message when I preached it. And I also must tell you that I have not felt that burden lift for this church. Amen. I still feel it tonight, so much so that I really believe the Lord directed me to go back to maybe this would just be part two of what I preached last time I was here. But I feel this, and I want to obey the Lord tonight. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I really do. Praise God, praise God. Turn with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter number 1. While you were turning there, I would say that Wyatt sends his love and regards to his grandmother. Tonight, if I had thought I could have brought him with me, I would have put forth the effort. But I realized I probably was fighting a losing battle to start with, so I didn't even try. Amen. I just left him back home. But anyway, praise the Lord. The book of Joshua, chapter number 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us here tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing. We thank you for the strength that only you can give. I pray tonight that you would give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive. Give us a heart of understanding. We pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. God, excuse me. God bless you. You may be seated. I know this is a very familiar event in Scripture, a very familiar passage that I have read from here tonight, but the story still stands that Moses had taken the people of God as far as God allowed him to. He has now moved off the scene, and you could say, I guess, that the baton was passed on to Joshua. There had been many promises given to the people of God about Canaan's land. Canaan's land was a land, the Bible said, would flow with milk and honey. That the Canaan's land, when they moved in and began to conquer the land and take the land that God had promised them, that there would be great victories that would come. There would never be a lack of food. There would never be a lack of water. But as long as they walked with the Lord and they served the Lord, then all of their needs would be met. It was a land of promise. It was their land, and God had promised to give it to them. The promise began with Abraham, and it was passed on to Isaac. From Isaac, it was passed to Jacob. From Jacob, it went down through Joseph, who went into Egypt's land. And then after several hundred years, Moses steps on the scene, and the promise was passed on to Moses. And Moses, by the hand of God, led the children of Israel out of Egypt's land. He was on a mission. God had spoke to him, and God had said, now is the time I want to bring you out that I might bring you in. Praise the Lord. And so the people of God followed the man of God as they left out of Egypt's land, the land of bondage. They had confidence that God was going to help them, and God gave them a lot of great miracles. Amen. God blessed them on their way out. The hand of God was truly upon their life, and there were a lot of things, good things that took place, a lot of miracles that took place. Amen. Moses faced a lot of adversity. There was a lot of things that he had to endure, so much so that even the people doubted that they could take the land that God had promised them. And as a result of that, the man that had been chosen by God to lead the people of God out of Egypt's land and into Canaan's land, the people doubted, and it caused Moses to have to lead them an additional 40 long years before the promise would come to pass. Because of unbelief in the hearts of those that did not believe it was going to happen, God cursed them, and God said, this generation is not going to obtain the land of promise. But the promise of God still stood. Praise the Lord. Now, folks, I just believe tonight that when God, according to his word, when God makes a promise, he not only makes the promise, but he makes good on his promise. Praise Praise the Lord. And I know what I'm going to be saying here for the next little while may be somewhat of a repeat of some things I said last time I was here, but it's what I feel tonight. Praise the Lord. When God makes you a promise, you can rest assured the promise will come to pass. If we will believe it, if we will not let doubt and unbelief enter into our hearts, God will bring it to pass. There are things that will cause the promise to not come to pass. Number one is unbelief. Praise the Lord. Unbelief, the promise will still be fulfilled, but it just won't be in our life, or it won't be through us. Amen. God's word, the Bible said, will not return unto him void. What he has said, that he will do. And you can take it to the bank, friend, that if God makes a promise, he's going to follow through on it. Praise the Lord. What God needs is for people to get a hold of the promise and to believe the promise, praise the Lord, and to not waver and to not doubt. Amen. Praise the Lord. Unfortunately for these people, they began to doubt. Unbelief entered into their heart. And the whole generation died in the wilderness, praise the Lord. And then it was not long after that that Moses, God took him up on the mountain because of some other events that took place. God did not allow him to enter into the promised land. Praise the Lord. But Joshua was of the same spirit, and he had the same vision and desire that Moses had. Praise the Lord. He was one of the 12 spies that went into the land of Canaan and spied the land out. And he came back with the 12 spies and said, "We can take the land." Amen. There were 10 people that said, "We cannot take the land." 10 spies that stood up and said, "We are not able to take this land. We are not able to conquer this land." Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there was two men that stood up, Joshua and Caleb, stood up and said, "Let us go up and watch. We can take the land." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't want to be guilty and be a part of folks that will not believe the word of God, that will not accept the promises of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you something. Those that have true faith and those that truly believe God and take him at his word are a minority. Praise the Lord. But it still doesn't mean that God's word won't come to pass. What it means is God's word will still come to pass.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Joshua got a hold of the promise. You see, the Lord spoke to him, and the Lord said, "Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you." And the same promise I gave him, I'm giving to you. The same authority I gave him, I'm passing on to you. It's up to you now to lead these people into the promised land. Praise the Lord. Now, he says here, "Be strong," in verse number 6, "and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Amen. Now, we all understand and we know that when they went into Canaan's land, that they had to fight for the land. Praise the Lord. When they walked in, now we understand that when they first crossed over the Jordan River and they went into Canaan's land, that God said, "The first victory, I'm going to bring it. Amen. I'm going to take care of the first battle. What I want you to do is pass around Jericho one time for 6 days. Once each day, and then on the seventh day, I want you to compass the city 7 times. And on the seventh time around, I want the priest to begin to blow the trumpets, and I want there to be a great shout, amen, which lets us know that when we enter into the promised land, we enter there through praise. The first victory that we fight, that we win, comes through praise. It comes through worship. Amen. And so when they went into the land, the Bible said that they followed through with the commandments of God, and they marched around the city 6 days, once a day, and then on the seventh day, 7 times. And just like God said, the walls fell down flat. Praise the Lord. But after the first victory, every single time they went to battle or they faced another city, they had to fight and they had to conquer it. Praise the Lord. But the promise was given to them that the land was theirs. All they had to do was go and get it.
Right.
Right. Praise the Lord. They had to fight. They had to be willing to fight. They had to be willing to give of themselves and be willing to even die for the cause if need be. Because God had promised them, this is for you and it's for your children. Praise the Lord. I just want to say, interject this right here, that we're in this thing for more than ourselves. We're in this thing for our children's sake. What we're fighting for is not just for us. It's for our children's sake. Well, praise the Lord. It's so that they can enjoy a land of peace and rest. The Bible said that David fought many a battle. He fought many a war. But Solomon had peace in his days. Praise the Lord. I am fully persuaded that if we will stand up as parents and fight a battle and be victorious in the battle, it'll help our children to not have to fight some battles. Well, praise the Lord. So the Lord gave him a promise. He said, I'm going to give you the land. Be strong and of a good courage. When you go across Jordan's River, be strong and of a good courage. You know, the first scene that we see here when they cross over the Jordan River is Joshua confronts, or when he goes in to the land, he confronts an angel. Brother, he was so full of courage. He was so full of boldness that he walked up to the angel, not realizing it was an angel, and said, whose side are you on? Brother, he was ready to take on the whole world. He was so on fire that it didn't make any difference if anybody else was with him. God spoke and God said, I'm going to give you the city. I'm going to give you the land. And he was determined when he walked across, God's going to give it to me. Well, praise the Lord. I believe he walked in with a spirit that said, we're going to whip you with one, or we'll whip you with 100,000. It just all depends on who follows suit, but we're going to have victory. Praise the Lord. The folks that experience the promises of God coming to pass in their life, the ones that get the blessings of God are the ones that are willing to fight for it. We do have one common assurance, and that is that as long as we're fighting on God's side, we are assured the victory. Well, praise the Lord. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, victory shall be mine. Simply meaning, not that I won't put forth some effort in the fight. Praise the Lord, but I'm just not going to put my opinion in it. Well, praise the Lord. I said if I keep my mouth shut and keep my opinions to myself and just do what God tells me to do, he's going to give me the victory.
Amen.
Sometimes we think we're singing that song, if I just hold my peace, if I just stand here, you know, just kind of stand back and let God do it all. God ain't going to do it all.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Even when the walls of Jericho came down, the people still had to march.
Amen.
They still had to praise. They still had to worship. There were some things they had to do before God could give them the victory.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. When God gives the command, we just need to follow through with it. Well, praise the Lord. I just want to interject this and say that all throughout the scripture, every time God gave the man of God the formula for the healing, for the victory, for the miracle, whatever it was to take place, it was always unusual. But praise the Lord. It never made sense to anybody else that was there. But when God spoke it through the man of God, those that just simply believed, they got their miracle. They got their blessing. Well, praise the Lord. When Naaman the leper, when he contracted this serious disease of leprosy, the Bible said he was a great man. He was a great warrior. Praise the Lord. And the prophet sent him word and said, if you'll go dip 7 times in Jordan, the Lord will heal you. Well, praise the Lord. Well, he got upset about it because the prophet didn't tell him to go down to a good, nice, clean river. He wouldn't make him look good. Praise the Lord. Jordan River was a dirty river. Amen. And besides that, dipping 7 times made no sense. But when he followed through and obeyed the commandments of the man of God, God healed the man. Praise the Lord. But Naaman had to, there were some things Naaman had. Jesus one time put clay in a man's eyes and said, go wash.
Right.
Well, praise the Lord. Folks, anytime God gives us a promise, anytime God gives us a word, there's always a part that we must play in it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So Joshua had a promise. God said, I am going to divide this land for an inheritance unto these people. Only be thou strong and courageous. Go in and take the land. Walk in there just like that you're an experienced army, that you got all the weapons that you need. And don't worry, just go in there and fight. Just walk in there and be ready to do whatever you got to do. How are we going to win the battle? Just do whatever you, when the time comes, whatever you can grab a hold of to use, whatever it takes, just do it. I will tell you this, when God sends you into warfare, you'll always find a weapon somewhere.
Right.
Samson faced a bunch of Philistines one time. The Bible said he looked around and found the jawbone of a donkey. He said, that'll work. Hallelujah. I'll just take whatever I got. Well, praise the Lord. If you'll get out and fight, and if you believe God for the victory, if you believe God for the miracle, well, praise the Lord. His word is not going to return unto him void.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So he says, be strong and of a good courage. Go into the land and fight. Just go in there and take the land. Conquer it. Overcome it. Be victorious in it. Praise the Lord. And then he says, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Now, what the Lord is saying here is that you've got two different ways of battle here. Amen. Number one, you're going to go in and you're going to pursue. And you're going to go after the enemy. You're going to conquer the land. Praise the Lord. And at the same time, you are going to stand upon the law.
Right.
Praise the Lord. While you're fighting, while you're conquering, while you're overcoming, you're going to have to stand firm upon the doctrine.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Because my victory is not going to come with just fighting. Praise the Lord. The only way I'm going to back up the fight, the only way I'm going to back up and give you the victory, is if you do it standing on my word.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I've given you the law as a guideline that you are to live by. You are to obey. And if you will be strong and very courageous and stand upon the word of God, you're assured the victory. Notice he didn't say, just go in and take the land. Just go in and fight. Just go in and overcome. Well, hallelujah. He said, I want you to understand one thing. When you go in and fight, it's going to take some effort. Well, praise the Lord. When it comes time for church, for some folks, for most folks, it takes effort. Sometimes you've got to fight just to get here. Come on now. To pray, sometimes you got to fight just to pray. Come on now. You're going to fight Satan. You're going to fight the world. You're going to fight your flesh. Well, praise the Lord. There's always going to be something you got to overcome, but you got to put forth the effort. Amen. And the other half of that is, that while you're putting forth the effort, everything, the Lord is saying, Joshua, everything you do, you got to do it standing upon my word.
Right.
Now, in the book of Ephesians, or Ephesians chapter number 6, I know I'm talking fast and I know I'm talking a high pitch, but I can't help it tonight. I got a lot to say and a short time to say it in. Hallelujah. When you read the book of Ephesians, Paul writing here in the latter part of chapter number 5, he's talking about the structure of authority in the home. God, Christ, the man, the woman, children. Amen. Giving us an outline of how it's to be done. Praise the Lord. Chapter number 6, he begins saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Verse number 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to your flesh, to your employers. Employees, be faithful to your employer, as unto the Lord. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Verse number 9, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. So we got the children with the parents with the children, the employee with the employer, and the employer with the employee. And Paul is writing here some instructions. This is the way you to do it. This is the way you to work it all out. And then he says, in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What he's saying here is a mirror or reflection of what God told Joshua back in Joshua chapter number 1. He's saying here, in relation to the family structure, in relation to the parents and children relationship, and parents to children, and employee to employee, just everything in life, he's saying, you're going to have to be aggressive. You're going to have to pursue if you're going to obtain the victory.
Right.
Well, hallelujah. You're real quiet tonight, but I'm just thinking, hoping that you're just listening to me.
Amen.
Amen. You got this father, son, and father and daughter, and mother and daughter, all these relationships, that it takes a lot of effort to get along.
Amen.
A lot of effort to have peace and harmony in the home. Praise the Lord. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort for the employee and the employer to get along under normal circumstances. It's also hard under abnormal circumstances. As a matter of fact, it's just hard across the board, because there's always going to be opportunity for there to be confusion or misunderstanding. Praise the Lord, somebody. There's always a place. There's always, it seems like, even Satan knows how to create situations that can cause problems. Listen, if you're going to obtain peace and harmony in the home, it's because you're going to aggressively pursue it.
Right. Right. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You cannot sit back and just think that it's just going to happen. I'll tell you something else. If you're going to have church, it's going to be because you get with the program.
Amen.
If you're going to have revival, it's because you do something. You've got to pursue revival.
All right.
Oh, hallelujah. But you know what? There's more to just pursuing in this battle. Amen. There is a fight to stand in the right place while you're fighting. Well, praise the Lord. When you stand up on the word of God, and then you aggressively pursue relationships and all the things that go with it, God will help you be victorious.
Amen.
The problem with most people is they want to fight on their terms.
Right.
They want to fight their way. God says if you're going to be victorious in the kingdom, you can fight, but you got to do it my way.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. I've heard of various types of fighting matches where they've got the free for all. That's a scary fight to be in. Free for all. Bring a ball bat in the ring if you want to. Amen. But most fights have guidelines. If you do this or do you do that, you're going to be disqualified. Well, praise the Lord. It's a fight, but it's a structured fight. In the kingdom of God, listen, Paul said, I'm not just beating against the wind. He said, I'm fighting for something. While I'm standing on something, I'm pursuing something. Because the combination of the two, God has assured me to have the victory. Well, praise the Lord. When you fight God's way, when you fight the manner by which He tells us to fight, then you can pursue and you can obtain. You can be victorious. Praise the Lord. Because victory is attainable.
Amen.
So Paul said, I'm standing where I need to be standing, but I'm also pursuing. Because the only way I can obtain victory and be an overcomer is to stand in the right place when I'm fighting.
Right.
Amen. When you go back now to the book of Joshua, you're going to read there where they went into Canaan's land and the walls of Jericho just fell down flat after they walked around them. They did just what God said and the victory came.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Victory came. It was just, you know what? It was automatic. When they put the formulas together, obedience to God's word, standing upon the law, just following through, the wall just fell down. And all they had to do was just go and say, okay, take care of business and move on. You go to the next battle that they had, and the children said, hey, this is just a little AI up there. Ain't nothing to that, and it's a piece of cake. We'll just go up there and take care of business. What do you say? So they go up there, and you know what happens? The Bible said that Ai put them on the run, and they lost some soldiers. And Joshua said, Lord, what's going on here? The Lord said, you've got outside of my law. You've got outside of my commandments. I told you don't take a wedge of gold, a Babylonian garment, or 200 shekels. Don't touch a thing. Everything belongs to me. But Achan touched the accursed thing. He didn't just touch it. He put it in his pocket. He took it to his tent, put it under his tent. And as a result of this, they couldn't even take out Ai, which was, I don't know, could have been the smallest city that they were to conquer. Wow. Hallelujah. Thank you for the water. So Joshua said, listen, just stop everything right where we are. Listen, folks, listen to me. You stop progress when you get out of line. It's just as simple as that. When you step, you know what you don't realize is the church is a body. We're the body of Christ. Amen. We are linked and joined together by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And as being linked together and workers together, when you step out, you affect the whole. Oh, yes, you do. Well, praise the Lord. It is a ripple effect. You think, oh, it's just a small little rock. But you throw a rock into a pond, and them ripples just keep right on going and getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
You can't be victorious. You cannot overcome. Unless you follow the rules. You walk in God's commandment. You walk according to His word. Otherwise, you're going to lose. Now, folks, I wasn't born into this thing to be a born loser. I was born into this to be a winner. We only defeat ourselves when we step outside of the word of God. And then we hurt those that are around us. Now, we could go on through scripture. Fortunately, when they got Achan and put him out there and stoned him,
right,
and his family, and everything else that was around him, In other words, they got it out from the assembly, removed it. Well, praise the Lord, because we can't be victorious until this is taken out. Well, praise the Lord. There's got to be a rooting out, a taking away, so we can go on. Now, what I read in Scripture is they didn't lose any more battles because they learned, you know what? What God said, He meant it. Not only did they lose the battle on the hillside over here, right down there in the valley, Achan was destroyed. Two pictures that were burned in their mind. And they thought, you know what? We ain't going to do that again. Hallelujah. Thank God for folks that will look around them and say, I ain't going there. I ain't going to be a loser. I'm going to be a winner. Now, folks, you can be a winner. I said, you can be victorious in the kingdom of God. You can be victorious in your family. Let me read you something here in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it shall come to pass, the Lord speaking to Moses, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. They ain't just going to catch up with me. They're going to take over. He's talking about when you're out pursuing and you're doing the will of God, because you're doing it right, the blessings are going to say, I got to catch him. I'm going to tell you folks something. When you're living for God and you're fighting the good fight and you're doing, you're going to look around one day and say, wow, what's going on here?
Right. That's right. That's the truth. Amen.
I could tell you some things, but I won't, because I don't really feel at liberty to go that direction. But I am going to tell you that when you stand on the word of God and you pursue what's right, what rightfully belongs to you, well, praise the Lord. Blessings will catch up with you and overtake you. You'll wonder where it's coming from. You're running one direction. You're trying to live right and do what's right. And oh, God, just help us to be faithful, Lord. We want to do what's right. And all of a sudden you look around. There's a blessing. Where'd that come from? I wasn't even praying for that. All I was trying to do was just keep my head above water. All I was trying to do was just be faithful. But there's the blessing. The people of God do not have to seek the blessing. All you got to seek for is the victory to overcome. Well, praise the Lord. I said to overcome. I want to be able to overcome this. I just want my family to get along. I just want there to be peace in the home. I just want to be able to keep things together. I'm laboring for that. And God says, I can honor that. So I'm going to put these blessings upon you. He said, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. And blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of the body. And the fruit of the ground. And the fruit of thy cattle. And the increase of thy kine. And the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. And blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The promises are there if we're willing to pursue them, if we're willing to fight for them. Well, praise the Lord. So, the Lord told Joshua, the land is yours. Go and conquer. Stand upon my law. Stand upon my commandments. Stand upon the word of God. It is a deadly combination, brother. I feel to repeat myself here until everybody gets it. It is a deadly formula. That, brother, when you obey the Word of God. And you pursue living for God.
Right.
It's a promise.
Yes, it is.
Now, I want you to know something. Right now, at home, I just move mine like this. Get out of my way. Folks, I want to tell you something. The man of God of Life Tabernacle stands upon the Word. And he believes in pursuing the victory. Oh, yes, he does. Going to say something just now, a little disclaimer, I guess. Those of you that might doubt what I'm saying. I don't talk Pastor Bass very much, not near as much as I should, that's for sure. But when I call and we talk, he either tells me about what he preached or I fumble around and I tell him what I talked about. Well, praise the Lord. But I know what I feel around here. And I'm going to tell this church something. This is my home church. It's where I'm from. Born and reared right here. Hallelujah. For those of you that don't know it, I didn't help build it, but I've helped keep it up. Praise the Lord. Got a lot of investment around here. Prayed a lot of prayers. One of the prayers I prayed that totally changed my life, I prayed right here, laying across the platform. I'll never forget as long as I live. God totally changed my life. Totally. Totally. Got a lot invested here. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that there are blessings in store for Life Tabernacle. I've known it. I have felt it. And I have watched as Pastor Bass preached and he has endured the fires of hell for many a year. Now, the Thursday night of SCORE when I led the service, I felt to say some things. But, well, actually, I really felt to say it. The Lord had dealt with me on Tuesday night about some things. And I got here Wednesday night, heard what I heard preached. And then Thursday morning, blew my mind. Such a tremendous blessing to me, knowing what I felt. I felt some things about Pastor Bass. I won't go into all the details. I don't have time. I'd love to take the time. Felt to say some things, and then as the service progressed, I just kind of wasn't sure, and I thought, well, I guess I'd better not say it, and maybe a good time later. The Lord dealt with me about Jacob and Esau. He said in, actually, Joshua, last chapter of Joshua, same book. He said he gave Esau the mount, put him up. But Jacob, he sent him down to Egypt. And then you read in Romans chapter 9. Paul writing, he says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, Joshua, the last chapter, 24th chapter, sent Esau up, but Jacob went down to Egypt. And then, long story, most of you know it. Long period of time, Jacob had to go through a lot of things. And then he got to the point where he wrestled with the angel. The angel changed his life.
touched him and blessed him, changed his name. Then Jacob, of course, he met Esau. And Esau had 400 fighting men with him, warriors. All Jacob had was just a bunch of young'uns running around, about like I had in my house this evening. I knocked on the door and opened the door, and there was three children just took off running to my house I'd never seen before. Oh, hi, y'all come on in. Turn around. My wife would not come out of the back bedroom. She said, I was afraid if I come out, I'd choke all of them. They were tearing our house apart, brother. I just stand there smiling. Seething. Wanting to beat the fire out of every one of them. That's all Jacob had. Just a bunch of youngers running around. But you see, God's hand was upon Jacob. And God was doing a work in Jacob's life. Esau represents flesh. Flesh always hits the top in a hurry. Big splash, big scene, flesh, flesh, flesh. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. They that walk after the Spirit. See, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, he first says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He gives all these glowing things, making me lie down in the green pastures, leading me beside the still waters, restoreth my soul, and goes on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, the people of God will have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. There will be times you are tried. There's times you're put to the test. Esau, you don't ever read anything else about him. But then, you see Moses up on the mountain when they're going into Canaan's land. Moses up on the mountain, it's Aaron and Hur holding up his hands on both sides. It was the Amalekites they were fighting. The Amalekites were descendants of Esau, flesh. So here's Moses leading the people of God. They're fixing to go into Canaan's land, and who are they confronting? Flesh. Too many folks at the dividing point have went the way of flesh. They have followed the lust of the flesh and not the Spirit. And as a result, what happens is somewhere down the road, there's the confrontation where the Spirit of God is reaching out sometimes to folks who have been walking in the flesh. Praise the Lord. And so what has to happen is at those times is when there's got to be men who will stand with the man of God. Just like we heard preached Thursday morning when Brother Gross was talking about the you need somebody to help shore up the preacher. Now, you know what? I'm going to preach this. I don't care what anybody here thinks about this. What I've got for this church is a word from the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm real careful when I'm in someone else's congregation about saying some things. I'll say it like I'm at home. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a spirit that God's going to judge. And just like the whole congregation died in the wilderness, this church is going to have revival. Some folks that have already left and some folks that are going to be leaving. I'm going to tell you something. God's going to put somebody right in your seat. And they're going to be paying more tithes than you ever dreamed of paying. They're going to be a supporter of the work of God. They're going to live for God. They're going to walk with God. Well, praise the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. And I'm going to tell you, some people that have been just hanging on the fringes, you better get a hold of this thing and you better understand something. The only way I'm going to be victorious, the only way I'm going to make it to heaven is if I stand upon the Word of God and I fight for what's right, what belongs to the church. Listen, folks, revival belongs to the church. Those that stood against the man of God, they didn't do it in Canaan's land. The day is going to come. You mark my word. You may be here. You may not be here. I'm going to be invited to come preach in this pulpit. And 3/4 of the congregation, I'm not going to know.
All right. Hallelujah.
Let me tell you why I can say that. Because God has given Life Tabernacle a promise.
Amen.
And you may tell you why He's going to bring it to pass. He's going to bring it to pass because you've got a man of God that is a true blue man of God. He kind of almost shot out of my heart. Hallelujah. He is a man that doesn't back up from the truth. He's a man that stands in the pulpit and tells you right from wrong.
and say whatever you want to say. But I'm going to tell you something. A man of God that doesn't love you, but he just loves your money, all he's going to do is tell you things that you want to hear. But a true man of God will hear from God, and he will preach to you to try to save your soul. Hallelujah! 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 You can buy the hirelings a dime a dozen. But I'm going to tell you something. When you go through the Word of God, I don't see a prophet standing on the street corner trying to make people feel good. When I read about the prophets, I'm going to tell you something. There's a spirit fighting me right now. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When God spoke to a prophet in His Word, the prophet stood up. And he said, I don't care if you hear me or if you don't hear me, but I've got a word from the Lord. Amen. Prophets were not popular people.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
But I'll tell you what a prophet didn't do. He didn't seek the favor of people.
That's the truth.
He sought the favor of God.
Amen.
I said he sought the favor of God. He didn't care what people said. You better thank God for a preacher that doesn't care what anybody says. Well, praise the Lord. Shut up, Okoria. Shut up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, some of you meant something. If somebody tried to break in your house and molest your children, what would you do? Would you stand back and let them do it? If you would, God help you. Thank God for a man that'll stand here and say, you're a wolf in sheep's clothing. Well, praise the Lord. He won't stand back. He won't compromise. But he will say what thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Joshua had so much courage. He said, choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm going to say a few more things. You look at the man's children. One daughter's a pastor's wife. One daughter's an evangelist's wife. And one is a right-hand man in this church. Some of their children have got the Holy Ghost. Some of them still need it, but they'll get it. Well, praise the Lord. But folks, I want to tell you something. I don't know of any time that they've had to be begged to be in church. Well, I find no fun. I realize that not every preacher has that kind of a blessing. But I'm going to tell you why that kind of a blessing is on Pastor Bass's life. It's because at home, he's not a hypocrite either.
Right.
When he's out of town, he's not a hypocrite.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, I'm so mad at the devil. And I'm telling you right now, there's a promise that's been given to Life Tabernacle.
Amen.
And it's time that Life Tabernacle rise up and pursue it. Not just go through the motions either. I'm not talking about just coming to church and cutting the jig and shouting on Sunday night. But I'm talking about walking out of here on Sunday night and living right on Monday.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. It's being faithful Monday through Sunday. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's walking with God, not just visiting God every now and then.
All right.
Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's time for Life Tabernacle to just line up with the man of God and say, preacher, preach.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. As a result of it, it just could be your children that saved.
That's the
It could just be your grandchildren are saved. It just could be your husband or your wife that's saved. I'm going to tell you folks something.
Praise you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I told the church on Sunday night, I said, I'm going to tell you something right now. I feel the Holy Ghost. I said, we're going to do this thing right. And God's going to honor it. I said, you can mark my words down. It's going to start breaking. We've got a lot of folks on the fringes. They're just there. It just seems like we just can't quite get them in. I said, you mark it down. We went to the restaurant Sunday night. There was a fella waiting on our table. We didn't give him no attention. As far as, you know, he really wasn't a good waiter at all. He just kind of hit and missed. And we could have jumped down his throat, but we were trying to be, you know, kind and patient. And we're sitting there, and he walks back over the table. What do you say to him? Where do y'all go to church at? Well, we go to Life in Beatsville. He said, I just moved into this area. He said, moved here to get my children out of the big city. And he said, I just kind of observed you folks, and we just, I'd like to come if it'd be all right. Oh, we'd love for you to come. Have church on Thursday night, Sunday. I can't be the Thursday. I can be there Sunday morning. Ear rings hanging, things hanging everywhere. Hungry.
Yes.
Breaking. Yes. Yes. Tuesday afternoon, got a phone call. Yeah, yesterday afternoon, got a phone call. You may be seated for a moment. Got a phone call. Man's voice was kind of quivering. This guy's a big husky fella. Big muscle-bound, hair down almost to his waist. Rough. Could be a rough character. I met him several years ago. 3-4 years ago, met him. Nice fella. And then I've just kind of seen him here and there. Every time, there was just something there. Caused me, his voice is quivering. I'm a little bit off balance. Yeah. Just wonder, could I come talk to you? I said, sure. He said, no hurry. We don't have to set up an appointment. He said, I know we need to set up an appointment. Just whenever it's convenient for you. If you can just work me in sometime the next week or so. I said, I think I can work it out. What you doing right now? Hey, I had business I was trying to take care of, and I was trying to wrap up some things. I had a meeting I was supposed to be in. What you doing right now? Well, I just fixed to get a quick bite to eat. I said, come on over. Oh, you don't mind? No, come on. Oh, okay. He comes over for an hour. He pours his heart out. God just began to speak through me, this man. Although God just came, I didn't know what to say, but God knew what to say. Things were coming to me, and I'm just sitting there thinking, yeah, Lord, go ahead, get him. Talk to him, Lord. That's really the way I felt. I didn't know what to say to this man. Had no idea what his childhood had been like. Had no idea what his life had been like. Had no idea where he'd come from. Blowing my mind. And God was just speaking to him. I'll tell you folks something. God's got his hand upon his church. And God's got his hand upon his men. And you can take this to the bank. This church is going to have revival.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Don't ever. What we need to do is put our feelings and our opinions aside. You know, did you know living for God's greatest thing in all the world? And it'll make you feel good. It'll make you feel happy. But I'm going to tell you something. When you try to do it your way, you'll be the most miserable person. If you're here tonight and you're miserable, let me tell you why you're miserable. Because you keep trying to do it your way. If you just surrender and say, okay, my way don't matter no more. I want to do it God's way. I'm telling you, you talking about peace coming to your life?
Yes, yes.
You talking about joy coming to your soul when you lay all of that flesh aside? I'm not. Too many times we sit back and try to pick and choose. Well, I'm not sure about that. I'll take that. And no, Lord. I'm putting everything, all of my likes in this life. You know what I need. It's not about what I want. It's what I need. He knows what I need. I'll say this and I'll move on and wrap this up tonight.
when the man of God is anointed and he's speaking the word of God, it is the word of God.
Right. That's right.
Your pastor, as well as mine, lives the life.
Yes, he does.
I know him. He lives the life. Now, I'll tell you something. Doesn't mean everything he does you gotta like. He may have ways, you know, he may wear certain things that, you know, you don't think matches. Maybe he thinks it does. You know what? It doesn't matter whether it does or not. As long as it's within keeping of the outlines, guidelines, and it will be, I'm sure. But my point is it doesn't mean we've got to like and dislike, you know, like everything about him. It doesn't mean that you just got to think every single thing he does is just the most greatest thing in all the world. But I'll tell you this much, you better think he is the greatest man in all the world.
Yes.
But you know what? You know what? You can't be saved without him.
That's right.
There's going to be a lot of folks in judgment. The Lord's going to say, where's your pastor?
Yeah.
Oh, it's him. No, that's not your pastor. Well, that's where I've been going to church. That ain't your pastor.
Amen.
Where's your pastor? You left the Father's house. Come on now. You didn't leave right. You left wrong.
Come on.
Where's your pastor? And you can mark that down too. You may have to wait till judgment to find that to be true, but you'll find it to be true. Because you ain't going to heaven without a preacher. And when you leave Crossways with the preacher, folks, I'm going to tell you something. When you leave Crossways with the preacher, you're going to have a tough bill of sale when you get to the judgment seat. Because you've got to prove to God you were right. That's going to be tough to do. When the man that's preaching to you knows what it means to fast 10 days, knows what it means to pray all night long, knows what it means to study the Word of God and be led of the Spirit. And Lord, forgive me, but a lot of times all we do is just kind of get by on the bare minimums. And you could say amen to that because that's the truth.
Yes.
Most people live on the minimums.
The truth.
Will I make it? Well, maybe, maybe not. That's between you and God. But I'll tell you this. I want to be sure.
Yes,
Lord. I said, I want to be sure. The thing that you need to look at your pastor, and Lord, have mercy on
him.
You said he could hear this. Okay, thank you. You're not recording this, are you? He's not recording it. Thank the Lord. Huh? Anyway, doesn't matter anyway. You need to look at your man of God and say, he lives right, and he preaches right. That's all that matters.
Amen.
If his house is green, purple, gray, or maroon, it doesn't matter. He preaches right, and he lives right.
Amen.
That's all you've got to see. That really is all you should see. That's right. When you look at one another, I'll just throw this in for good measure. That's my brother. That's my sister, and I love them.
Amen.
Whatever faults or failures they have, that's between them and God. The pastor will take care of that. I'm to love them. That's my job. I just love them. I tolerate them. And love will tell you, you read Corinthians, he'll tell you all the things that love does. It looks over. It looks around.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he said,
right.
I'll just close my eyes and go on. Because if I look at all the stuff,
right.
Come on. His love looked over all of that.
Yes, it did.
And said, I'll do it anyway.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Now, in closing tonight, I want to close by saying this. And this is my title. When the Lord spoke to Joshua, now you think with me. Well, all we read is the Lord spoke to Joshua. Joshua told the people, boom, they up. Now you think about it. People are people, okay? You go to Africa, you go to Mexico, you go to... Well, Canada may be a little, you know... No, I'm just kidding. Those of you that were at SCORE can appreciate that. People are people. But now you think about this. Joshua, it's time to get up and move forward. Take
the land that I promised your forefathers. Joshua gets up and says, we're going to take the land. God said, take the land. Come on, get everything pulled together. Let's go. But Joshua, come on now. But Joshua, they've been saying that for years.
All right.
Moses said, we is going into the land. Joseph said, we is going into the land. Jacob said, we ain't in the land yet. Joshua says, so what? The Lord said, we're going in. But Joshua, listen, Moses has been the leader and now he's gone. So what? We're taking the land. Now I'm going to tell you what kind of attitude we got to have, because it doesn't matter where you are right now. Every single one of us have at some point come short. We have all failed at some point. And furthermore, Satan knows how to get on your shoulder and begin to talk to you. Don't ask you a question. What does he say? Come on, just think about it. I don't know if you can make it or not. You sure are awful tired tonight. So what? I'm still going to church. Because there's a blessing there. And you know what? Did you know every time you come to church, you've just won a victory? Oh, I didn't get to go through nothing to get there. Oh, yes, you did. And for a lot of folks, it's a big victory. Because when you don't make it, it's a defeat. Praise the Lord, somebody. Joshua had to have the attitude, it doesn't matter what's been said. It doesn't matter what's happened. Joshua, we've had a whole congregation of people that have died in the wilderness. So what? God said, go in and take the land. Folks, yeah, a lot of preachers have preached around here and told you he's going to have revival. So what? Still going to have revival. A lot of preachers have stood up here and prophesied, said this is going to happen. So what? It's still going to happen. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. We got to have the attitude. Well, my Lord, we've had some folks leave. So what? Still going to have revival. You know, sometimes God got to get some folks out of the way anyway. Well, praise the Lord. Let me just drop this in here only just for a minute. I'm going over time tonight, but maybe it'll be all right. We've only been where we are almost 6 years now. And so I have been able to watch, and I had, because it's like I've just watched it happen, the progress. And we started out 3, 8, 11, 7. That's the truth. 15, 11. 18, 14. Along the way, God had moved some folks out. I preached messages and I said, I'm just telling you right now, God is drawing the line tonight. You get on one side or the other. You better thank God for a loving pastor that just keeps reaching and reaching and reaching and reaching and reaching. Because I learned early on, and that's it. Forgive me, I'll get in trouble for saying this. You don't want to be here? Go. I don't want you in the way. I found a long time ago, if everybody ain't pulling, that means somebody's either riding or pushing against us. And I want everybody pulling. So some folks, you know what I'm saying? My point is this. Get in, lead follower, get out of the way. And you know what? Why not just get in? Why not just dive in? Don't tiptoe around. That water's cold. Ooh. You know, the water's just dive in. Amen. Don't sit on the fringes. Well, I don't know if I want to go to that church or not. I don't really know if I want to. Come on. Put all that aside. Yeah. Right. The devil's going to go, well, you know what? You failed. Last time you tried, you failed. So what? Right. That was. was last time. This is this time. And this time, I'm going to make it. Well, you sure better show yourself. Now, you would be embarrassed. You know, I tell you what I'd do. So what you would do? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand on the word, and I'm going to pursue the victory. Let's all stand together. When the devil comes whispering in your ear, telling you how you fail, and you just tell him, so what? I've got a promise. I have got a promise. You know what? As I look across this congregation, most of you I know. Some of you I don't. But I know most of you well enough to know that God gave you, at some point, a promise. Spoke directly to you. I'll give you this, I'll give you that. God wants to give it to you. But what he's waiting on, usually, is for us to get in the right, but we have to position ourselves for the blessing. Stand where we need to be standing and fight for the right things. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. It's a good fight to fight for the faith. Well, praise the Lord. We need to get on board and just say, so what? Does it matter? You know what? God gave us a new day every day. You know what that tells me? It's a new opportunity. Didn't quite make it yesterday, but the sun is coming up right now. Amen. Gonna give you another opportunity.
Right.
Praise the Lord. And then you got Saturday night, midnight, and then a brand new week. You can't have a good week until you start having good days. Huh? But when you get a succession of seven good days, you've got a whole week. And then you've got a new month. And then a new year. Folks, it's like it starts off a little battle, little things at a time. If you'll just make up your mind tonight, the devil says, you ain't never been faithful before to church. So what? Tonight is a new opportunity. I'm going to start right here tonight. And I'm going to make a commitment. Come Sunday morning, I'm going to be here. I'm going to win that battle. And then Sunday night, I'm going to win that battle. And it won't be long until you will have the victory over faithfulness. You'll just be here automatically. You know, some folks, you just know they're going to be there. Early. Imagine that. Early. Some of them even make it time for pre-service prayer. You know why? Because they won that battle way back. They made their mind up, I'm going to be there. This is why when you miss a service, it's easy to miss another one. But you start losing.
Amen.
You take a team that's been winning. We're winners. Ooh, we can whoop them. They get beat one time. Oh, we'll come back next game. We'll whoop them. The next game they beat again. Well, next, we just got a few things we've got to work on. But, you know, we're going to get back in the form. And they lose again. It's like, well, you know, we got some problems here. We got some weaknesses on our team. Well, you didn't have weaknesses when you won 75 games in a row. Well, you know, we got something. And then they lose again. They're like, man, we're just a bunch of losers. You know what? Same thing happens when you start missing church. You'll miss a service. You're like, well, you know, well, I'll go back next service. And it's like the next time, well, oh, boy, you know, a big deal really hurts tonight. Amen? And then all of a sudden before you know it, like a failure. I've lost out with God. The devil is going to use that against you, folks. And that's just a very simple illustration. But I'm just telling you, you got to make a commitment. I am going to stay on the word, and I'm going to pursue righteousness. Let's love the Lord together tonight. God bless you.